You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Exactly. To the strains of the emotional cello. I'm giving you time just to run over the last season, the season before that, and the season before that, the season before that, the season before that, the season before that, and then the first season. Putting all the storylines together. Yesterday was the season finale of season 7 of Game of Thrones, one of the most, I'm trying to think of the correct...
Epic,
more than epic. That's a good buy. Epic, four letters. Bombastic.
Overblown.
Well, overblown, I see. That suggests it's a crapper.
Enormous.
Colossal. Once again.
I've got mine.
History quaking.
Great key change in this.
Hard out.
So truck drivers. Hard out.
The most hard out TV episodes, CV episode series box set episodes ever. Anyway, so good time to start our new television segment called Viewmaster.
It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.
And your master of viewing, Alexander. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you. How are you? Should we say the Viewmaster?
Oh!
Thank you very much.
I just saw
Game of Thrones Day, everybody.
Hey!
Happy Game of Thrones Day to you.
To you too.
Did you, I'm not going to make that joke I was about to make. It's not Jono and Ben, come on.
We have our moments.
Don't know what I want to know.
What about when they said, I've got an add-on for Jacinda?
Do you know that's a t-shirt now?
Yeah, that's wicked.
Wow, I'm glad I missed that.
Yeah. Lucky I didn't say Game of Thrones. Anyway, let's talk about television. Let's talk about the Game of Thrones season finale. Game of Thrones, for those people who don't know, is
it's a little show.
A little show you might have heard of. Based on a very popular series of books written by an old fellow who wears a nautical cap. And
old George R. R. Martin.
Yeah.
He's old now. He's old.
No,
he's
old
and he's old.
We're all old since Game of Thrones began.
That's
true.
We're
a lot older. We're a lot older than we were when Game of Thrones started.
I like to do a bit of a thought exercise.
Me too. When I watch television, I'm always thinking, I'd like to do a thought exercise.
my attention is elsewhere. Where were you when you watched your first episode of Game of Thrones?
For my first episode, I watched it and basically dismissed it. Didn't think it was up to much.
Really?
And then my good friend, Mikio, good friend, told me, you need to get back on board. This is you're missing something here. And so I jumped in. I guess I was second season, maybe? At the beginning of the second season, he said, you need to get on board and you need to get your shit together. This is coming from a friend of mine who is very hard to even get to watch 10 minutes. If you go, hey, come watch this, get 10 minutes, terrible attention span, can't be, always thinks the stuff he's watching is better than this, as we all do, who said, sit down, watch the hour of television, Mike, and get your shit together. And I watched it and then bloody
that was it.
And that was it. And then we were then salivating like a dog for the next 10 years.
And so do you treat it as appointment viewing?
Hell yes!
There you go.
You kids go and play in your room. That sort of viewing.
Okay.
Yeah, or get a play date organised. See you later. Don't cry. You be asleep. You.
Which is interesting because, you know.
Soakers, pacifier and gin. Quick.
Bonjela on the gums. Which is interesting because in the age of...
Dragons have Bonjela on their gums, do you think?
Oh,
do you think dragons teeth really badly?
Well, they've got to be eating stuff. Otherwise, it's like a cat. If
sheep.
How do they brush their teeth? When they've got little bits of sheep in their teeth.
Bones, sheep. Mate.
Yeah, I thought that would be Jon Snow.
How do they hold the bones?
It's just through munching. It's like a cat. If you only feed it dry biscuits, it'll have.
But maybe they've got teeth. Maybe they've got like a sub animal, like the shark has a remora fish, like a hippo has like a bird that.
I'd really love
at the end of
if Daenerys had a minion, just with like a big broom and
just
doing
picking out like flossing.
Yeah,
feeding them some kibble.
Oh.
I was really at the end of season 6 when they were flying over the ocean.
Yep.
I was like, what are the dragons going to eat? On this
whatever they want, man.
Yeah.
Just to put their mouth as they're going over the water, just pick up a whale or something.
Krill.
Yeah, maybe. Like
krill feeders.
Doesn't really have baleen so much there, though. Someone's texted and said that young dudes like it because it's got tits and ass in it.
No. You know what? Untrue.
Untrue, because you obviously don't know much about young dudes, because young dudes can find tits and ass for days without looking at Game of Thrones.
But there's no shortage.
Is there a thing that's socially acceptable, tits and ass? Like, it's tits and ass you can watch with your girlfriend.
Shame! Shame. Shame. That's one of my favourite bits on the whole of Game of Thrones ever. Woman. Shame.
She was
pretty intense. I bought my girlfriend a t-shirt with shame. And you've seen that, eh? You've seen that? It's awesome.
I think that... No one gets it. I think that this is, like... I'd like to know what that texter thinks about this recent season then. And potentially the season before.
I think that texter's made their mind up already.
Right.
Because there was less cocks in this season.
Less... Quite a lot of discussion of cocks, though.
Which was nudge discussion of cocks. It was good.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Don't look at me like that.
but definitely gone are the days in Game of Thrones where sex position is a thing.
Yeah, brothels hardly talked about it. Yeah, there was a mention of brothels last night, and it seemed out of place almost.
Exactly. The last scene I feel like I can remember, which was overtly sexual of nature... And it almost...
Hold on, stop. We need to
no
just...
No spoilers.
We need to just say, by the way, in this upcoming segment, there may be some spoilers you may want to turn off now. We should have said that.
We're going to try very hard not to spoil anything.
Sorry.
Well, I was actually going to reference something in a previous season, which is when Yara and Theon go to the brothel after he's been castrated.
That's
and she
so
goes
sad.
To get her rocks off, and you're sort of presented with this tragedy.
Yeah, well, he's a tragedy.
Because he used to be this, you know, womanizing...
Absolute animal. Womanizer, and had his...
He looks like a wet fish now.
Yeah. Had his stones taken away from him.
I love him. I'm buying all the Theon stock that I can.
I'm appreciating where he's gone with the character, but I got over it. I'm still dark on Reek, to be honest.
Yeah. How come? What did he do?
Come on, mate. Just...
He was such a...
Just a... But, you know... Spineless, you know?
If you're yet to watch last night's episode, there's some good crunchy Theon stuff in it.
Yeah, Theon...
This is what I'm saying. I don't mind where it's gone, but I'm just...
I feel like Theon's journey from start to finish has been one of the... Not... That was not a spoiler, by the way.
That was not a spoiler.
There was no finish. Or maybe there was.
Let's not check ourselves too tightly here.
His performance, I feel like, has just been so gratifying to watch. I feel like every time he's on screen, he brings it. 100%.
Yeah, and he does. And if he's going to be pathetic, he pathetic. Do you think we could turn it's making me quite emotional, intense, that theme music in the background.
Off or up?
Hey,
down.
I think down. Yeah, we can come back into it. It's just making me feel like I should be...
It's getting a bit welling up.
I need to get home, it's on, sort of thing. I've still got that thing on, you know, like... Makes me think it's coming on, and I need to shush everyone, shush.
Small detour. There's a really good episode of a podcast called Song Exploder, in which Raman Djawadi breaks down that song, and it's incredible.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's amazing.
They didn't just bang it out, and it worked well. They put a bit of thought into it.
The way he talks about it actually was kind of like, yeah, I just kind of. I'm just a genius. He's definitely convinced of his own greatness.
You would be, wouldn't you?
Exactly. Fair enough.
You know, if you were the da 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 da, and then the so bit goes just busts into the second half, and you go, oh come on!
Yeah,
hate that.
In a macro sense, did you enjoy this season? As somebody who treats it as appointment viewing, did you? What did you think?
I talked about this as a trade-off with someone earlier on today, with Marty earlier on the off air. I think that. We traded. There are a few loose bits of story. The story wasn't as. I used to really, really think it was great the way that the story knitted together so well.
Yeah.
And the backstories always added up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, even when it went right back to before, you know, the historical backstories. There's some stuff you can watch on YouTube, which is sort of like the history of all the different houses, you know. It's like a documentary sort of thing about how all the houses and where what they were, how they based some of the stuff on real, and it all you know that's
incredible. It's incredible.
To the author's credit, that's really impressive that 7 seasons on, it all still pretty much hangs together without any characters turning up twice or you know or something not working out. But there were a couple of bits in this season where I thought, what happened then? And there's some storylines which are petered out, and some which have just popped up. But we traded that off for living in this amazing time of 2017, where we have the most amazing computer graphics.
Yeah.
And so we have mass battle. Like to me, the battle at the end of season 6 was just one of the greatest things I've ever seen on screen.
It's pretty
ever.
My
Battle of the Bastards for
just,
any listeners.
Just one of the greatest things I've ever seen on screen in the whole of my life. I thought it was so cool.
It's pretty cool.
What size was this, was the screen that you watched it on?
Television size? Yeah. No, it wasn't. It was at a cinema.
I would recommend anybody who is capable to go and get this show as large as they possibly can. If they can get it on a projector, do that.
Let's talk the practical.
Incredible.
On a projector?
Yeah.
Is the projector going to go the whole time?
No.
It's like white noise. Some of them just do, like, you know? Becomes, you know, background. It's worth it.
It's an incredibly privileged position to be in. So if you have one friend among 20, just fill the lounge room. And also it's that great thing.
High def, but it's high def, you know?
Should make friends with a dentist, a doctor, and somebody that owns a projector.
Yeah.
What about an inspirational speaker? They often have...
probably some good PowerPoint presentations.
Yeah, anyone has PowerPoint in their meeting room.
So Battle of the Bastards is so incredible, I think, because the season, like plural, previous, worked so hard to get those two characters exactly to that point. So the spectacle of it is only really there to serve the narrative.
Yeah. But it just, you know, like when you think of it, a medieval battle.
Yeah.
How many times that's been approached before?
Yeah.
And how many other movies, you know, with huge budgets.
Yeah.
And even TV shows with huge budgets have done a battle scene, and that just surpassed them by miles.
Flunked it.
And especially when you see the making of it afterwards, how much of it was, you know,
those videos.
The fact that there are 60 actual horses running towards Jon Snow's character in real life that they felt, that's one of the greatest shots I've ever seen. That whole wall of horses coming from
the fact that they can do this.
Plus, I consider myself a fairly talented horseman, even though I've had very little time on a horse. But I feel like I am. You know,
I'm definitely not. I would.
I'd love to
fall off a horse instantly. I reckon those behind the scenes videos are kind of interesting because I think they speak to the fact that the showrunners potentially confused their success in previous seasons with spectacle. Like, I think the scale of those things and the reaction to it has led them to think that they can just make something enormous and that's enough. And I think that in this season there was some critical consensus, and probably quite rightly, that the writing didn't have the integrity to sustain those enormous spectacles. And that's a true sadness, because the show previously has been so incredible, like you said.
Yeah,
like,
but the writing wasn't poor. There was just a few...
Game of Thrones is bad writing. It's still like Days of Our Lives, best writing. You know, like...
There's barely a time where you sit there and go, come on.
But they're off book now as well, which is a good... I mean, and that's obviously nothing.
That's just the thing. Even when you did read the books, George R. R. Martin cannot write dialogue to save his life if you are critical in any way, shape, or form.
But do you think Benioff and Weiss can?
No, I mean,
that was a genuine question. I think they can.
His dialogue is pants and sometimes a little bit embarrassing,
dialogue's pants.
Ability at narrative soap opera is fantastic. And that's one of the great joys of Game of Thrones. You're like, shit, I love this soap opera.
It's so soapy.
I'm not going to use the C word, but I mean, it's just so impressive that that Cersei can just be one so badly, just to the break of the horn, eh?
Nasty. I oscillate between absolutely loving her and being like, oh, come on, mate.
You've jumped
the shark.
Jump the shark, I'll just blow you up.
So,
as Tyrion says, just murder. She'll just murder everyone. Murder them.
Favorite episode of Game of Thrones was the one in which she... This is a spoiler, but this is a spoiler from a season or so ago.
Speak up.
When Cersei blew the hell out of everyone.
Yeah.
Were you like?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Just like, get those kids to go and warn the down there with a maester, that dirty little maester.
I can't believe Marjorie didn't figure that out. She
it'll teach her to look like a cat.
She does. She's quite like feline.
I was going to say, I know they needed her to be Cersei light, and they needed Cersei to be a step ahead of her at all times. But I was like,
I like the way that was just a full flush. Everyone, see you later. See you later, the sparrow. See you later, everyone. Just see you later.
How much did you hate the sparrow?
No, I liked him.
I liked him too.
I liked the way he was just so bloody pious.
In what other show could you kill five of your main cast members of the season and then just, you know, walk away like, you know, just nothing ever happened?
If you're really freaking out about tomorrow night's, last night's one, then I'm going to send me just a... Surprised how few people died last night?
I was surprised at that too.
We didn't lose a lot of members last night.
There's a little thing called plot armor, which is like a writing term for basically the plot always protecting your main characters.
Mm.
And that was one of the things this season that irritated the hell out of me so much. They would constantly tease these characters slipping away from you, and they're so good at eliciting emotion and making you genuinely feel like those characters, like that's it, you're like, oh my god, that's it, it's done.
But do you
and
think
then, no
that,
last minute
do you think that only works because Game of Thrones used to be a series in which they would kill your favorite character and be like, no, it wasn't a dream, dead.
I think the thing I really liked about last night's episode is which they sort of preempted the episode before that, when with the massive big scene with the Army of the Dead.
And they're in the
circle there,
mm-hmm.
and there's a team of adventurers right there. You know what I mean? And the sort of around you've got Jorah, and you've got the Hound, and you've got, you know, all that, and it's that circle, and you're sort of just going, yeah, there's some adventurers. What those? If you're going to have a bunch of guys out there in the tundra dealing with that, that's who you wanted. And the same with last night when they're all that slow walk and all catching up as we're slowly walking down this long... You don't see them walking anywhere in Game of Thrones. Mm. Anywhere. There's no long walk ever.
There was some walking last night.
Far from north of the wall.
There was some walking last night as they were walking into the ruins. There was
definitely some long shots.
That's how you've been, man.
Not bad.
Catching up.
Yeah, I suppose. Just shitting the shit.
Should we read this text?
Yeah, go on, please.
I'm going to read it, apparently. Unfortunately, Game of Thrones is going off cliff notes now and is basically fan fiction. At least the cast is good. Writing needs to be better.
You need to get hold of the people at Game of Thrones.
I don't disagree with that man or woman.
Or lady. But there, and maybe this harks back to what we were saying before, now that the scripts are off book, they're using plot armor, they're afraid to make those huge calls that George R. R. Martin would do in his sleep and just be like, nah, your favorite character dead now.
Yeah.
Whereas when it's TV writing, they're like, oh shit, we can't get rid of this person.
And I still think that's why the Red Wedding is one of the most shocking episodes of television ever made.
Sure did like the response to that in this season, though.
Reigns of Casterly. Sorry, what?
I sure did like the response to that in this season.
What was that?
Was that the beginning of the season? Very first episode?
Do you mean Arya having a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I really like that. That was kick-ass.
I think
what we need to do now is wrap this up, because we've been talking pretty much Game of Thrones for 25 minutes. Someone's texted in here and saying, having to listen to Leighton Smith. You don't ever have to listen to Leighton Smith, mate.
That's true.
While you guys chat Game of Thrones. Hurry up, guys. Fair enough, too, because we've not chatted Game of Thrones for so long that I think we played all of our Game of Thrones cards.
Do you think Leighton Smith watches Game of Thrones?
Ooh.
You know what? I don't have time.
Do you reckon he could handle not being the center of attention?
Why would I watch that, you know?
Yeah.
And if that...
I've read the bloody Famous Five, I don't know.
If that texter is texting with regards to spoilers, we didn't give any, did we? I reckon we can do this in future without...
He won't be listening, mate, because he'll be listening to bloody Orchestra.
What's up with only 7 episodes, though?
Money, baby.
Yeah.
They do not have the money to
do
things
that...
What
do you mean? How can they not have the money? That's the biggest TV show in the world.
Exactly. Those episodes had to be so enormous. VFX is expensive.
Yeah, but
it's locations. All... My God.
Hey, what about that location, the Daenerys' island? Oh, that's cool, man. That's got to be. Is it real? Not the castle, obviously.
I think it's a combination of real and matte painting.
And Eastern Europe.
I don't think they built a castle, but that. I think
I wish I lived in matte painting.
Yeah,
there's some cool places in matte painting. Alexander, thank you very much for coming in on this extended segment. This debut Viewmaster TV discussion segment. We will be talking more TV with you this time next week.
We can probably tease a little bit when it's going to be. It's probably going to be Twin Peaks.
If anyone wants to catch up,
I'd love to.
Recommend it.
I'd love to see that.
See you then.
I'll see you in the black box.
That was Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.